To just praise the Lord for a moment. So let's take a moment. I'm trying to get everyone's attention. Let's just worship the Lord for just a moment. Will you just raise your hands, lift your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. I feel your presence in the house today, Lord God. I appreciate you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You may be seated. We're going to have some more worship here in just a few moments, so be ready and anticipate that. I just want to welcome everybody here to Calvary Gospel Church this awesome Sunday morning. And we're excited, if you're a visitor here for the first time, we have a connection card. We just like to get to know you a little bit better. We hate the word visitor. We really like the word guest. So please feel like our guests here today. And we would like to invite you to be a part of our family, part of our connection groups, part of all those things that we do. We're just glad you're here. If you're visiting online, the same thing. There's a little bit.ly link that you'll see on your screen. You can fill out that form online with us. And we just would like to get to know you a little better. And one of our pastors will probably call you maybe this week and just welcome you back to service. So just thanks for coming. Amen. Let me see here. I feel like I'm missing something. Let me say this. Pastor Roy's supposed to be here this morning. So he's not. He's up at the camp still. He's not camping, though. So what happened? Don't you like it when stories start like that? What happened was at the campground, there's this septic sewer system that is pretty elaborate, and it decided that it was no longer going to function. And everything that was supposed to go in the ground is kind of coming out of the ground. And Pastor Roy's a plumber. Pastor Roy's in charge of the camp, and Pastor Roy's there. So he stayed there, and they're literally, it's so bad, they tried to use an auger or something, didn't work out. They have to take an excavator and dig out the problem. So if you can imagine, he's not having as much fun as we are this morning. But he wanted to greet you and just say he wishes he was here in service, but he's excited for what God's going to do with Bryce today. We got a special speaker, Bryce. It's going to be awesome. So, if you guys, who all got to go to camp, maybe one service? Awesome. It was, anybody enjoy their time at camp? We know for sure that Nicholas Bauer got the Holy Ghost at camp. And so that's awesome. So I got that right? Okay, we'll talk about it later if I got it wrong, but I'm pretty sure you got the Holy Ghost at camp, and so we're excited for that. You know, we've been in a little bit of a revival lately. There's been a lot of baptisms and people getting the Holy Ghost, and so we should keep this going. It's kind of cool. Amen. So over the course of the next couple weeks, would you invite someone to church? We don't want to be the only ones that understand and love God the way that we do. We want to invite someone else out there. And so even this next week, we got a special speaker. Anybody know who that is? Morton Bustard. And so Morton Bustard is one of our annual speakers. And so he comes every year, and we're excited to have him. He's pretty much a prophet. I don't know if he claims it, but he prophesies quite a bit whenever he's speaking to us, and has lots of miracles, signs, and wonders follow his ministry. So if you know, have anybody who you know in your life that needs healing or needs restoration and needs God in a deeper way, why don't you bring them to church next Sunday with you? Just invite yourself into their lives, and then you invite them to church and have them come to church and see if God can do something miraculous next Sunday. We're expecting great things. This Friday, July 15th, we're having all church prayer. So, this Friday, it says 7 p.m. We want to pray for the revival that's going to be happening over the weekend and all the good things that the Lord is doing. Amen. And it's really important that we all show up to prayer. Amen. It's just once a month. And so that would be great to see you out on Friday night. There's also another announcement. There's a hyphen bonfire. So this was kind of thrown in at the last minute. Pastor Peter asked us to put this up. We just want to remind everyone who's part of hyphen, that's up to age 35 or so, to come out. It's going to be at I think that's Nate's house. Is that Nate's house address? That's Roy's house. Oh, I'm sorry. That's at they live on the same road, so West Medina. So this is at Pastor Roy's house, July 16th at 5:30. And so if you're under in the right age group, we'll see you there. So it's going to be an awesome time. Let's see here. I'm kind of all over the place, and I'm feeling kind of awkward because I took an extra 5 minutes of the previous service, so my apologies to all of you trying to rush and get your children. And also, I wanted to remind you that Bryce has an extra 5 minutes for his sermon because I stole 5. So, So the thing I forgot earlier was the giving options. We just want to remind everyone to continue giving through the summer as you're going on vacation and stuff. Just remember to give. Some of our giving options, you can give in the clear plexiglass box in the back. You can give online or through the app. You can also give by mail, but we just encourage you to continue giving. Anybody been blessed through giving to God? Amen. Amen. Have you proved him? There's a promise in the scripture that says, prove me this day. You can, God will bless you. Test me. God will bless your finances if you give to the Lord, but you have to do it with the right spirit. It's not like a slot machine where you put a quarter in and you pull it and you hope something comes out. It's not like that. It's more so God will bless everything in your life, not just your finances, but he'll bless your family, bless your home, and bless your work, and bless everything that you do. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We had a prayer request turned in. I did forget one more thing. Sorry. Next Sunday night, we have a men's ministry service. The lady in the back, she's going to strangle me. I'm so sorry for jumping all over. But next Sunday night, we have a men's ministry service also at Pastor Roy's. And so we want to have everyone come out this Sunday night, July 17th. At 6 p.m. If you're a man, we want to see you come. This is going to be a big one, okay? So we want everyone to show up. And why don't you just do me a favor and bring a big old fat steak with you? We're going to have the grills out. We're going to cook some steaks and have a lot of fun. And it's going to be a great time in the Lord. So my apologies. Let's go back to prayer. We did have a prayer request turned in. Greg and Julie Boone, turned in by Linda Carter for health. And you know there's some situations in our church that are critical for health. We got the Thompsons who are struggling with Sister Thompson in a hospice situation. And we have other folks here, different types of ailments, cancer, all different things going on. If you have a need today that you want to bring before the Lord, would you just raise your hand real high? If someone has their hand up, would you just be willing to pray with them, believe for them? Wouldn't you, if it's okay, would you just lay your hand on them or grab them by the hand and pray with them right now? Let's just pray that God has their way in all these situations. Lord Jesus, we ask you, God, that you would come into this sanctuary, walk in and out of these aisles, Lord, so to speak. Let your spirit be poured out upon all of these children of God, Lord God. We ask you to touch them, Lord Jesus, to bless them, God, to help in every situation, in healing, in financial situation, in mental burden, whatever it is, oh God. We believe for miracles today, Lord God. We believe that you're going to do great things, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless all of those that have needs today with faith, believing, God, that you can do it, Lord, that you will do it, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We put our trust in you, God. We lift you up. We honor you, God. We extol you today, Lord Jesus. We praise you. We praise your name, Lord. We honor you today, Lord God. You are a King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you just worship with the worship team for a few moments? Feel free to come on down. And let's just praise the Lord. Amen.
So we Yeah. I have been in intense pain in my back. I came to service this morning in such suffering, and I told Abby, I said, I'm going to try my best to make it through service. But the thing that keeps me going is that despite my pain, despite my circumstance, despite my situation, I was created to worship. And when I have the opportunity, I want to give all honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, because He's worthy. And whatever that pain is for you, whatever that situation is for you, whatever is troubling you right now, if you'll just take that and through the pain and through the suffering and through all of that, worship the Lord, something beautiful can happen in that. God will inhabit the praises of His people. He will inhabit that situation. I feel the presence of God here right now. And I wonder if we sing this chorus again, if you'll give the Lord all your praise. It's your breath.
Same spirit of worship. What a powerful service. Time gets away from us, but God's always in control. Amen. Amen. I feel God here today. I'm going to get into this pretty quickly here because of time. I'm aware of it, but I'd like to say hi to the Stolpe family. I see you're visiting us, so... And as always, I always thank the pastoral leadership that we have here at Calvary Gospel Church for the opportunity and for trusting in me to be able to speak today. We have many, many great men and women of God that can speak and have spoke. So I'm very, very grateful that they give me this opportunity. You can sit down. I'm going to be reading a little bit before I get to my passage. But this message came to me roughly 2 weeks ago. When I was playing with my child, Emmett, and my message title today is Shoes to Fill. Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, he's my little buddy. He's over there. I wonder if he sees himself. But I feel like I have some things here today. And I was kind of confused about it, but when worship was going on, I kind of felt that there's a restoration or like an energy that needs to be restored. Because it's very, very, very tiring to have expectations placed on you that maybe you weren't even born to have placed on you. So I'm just going to start out here. I love our elders. I've appreciated them and enjoyed being able to listen and learn from them over the course of my life. In fact, as many of you know, my child is named after two of our elders, Emmett being Emmett Caskey and Bishop being Bishop. I have nothing but respect for them and the lessons they've spent their time teaching me over the course of my life. I was recently at my grandma's house, Grandma Manley, after I had dropped her off after a Wednesday church service, and I remember she said a few times, "Well, you should probably go. You have plenty of important things to do." I made sure she knew that this is something high on my priority list, and just spending time with her was more important to me than going home and just going to bed. It's special to me when elders share the lessons or the truths they've learned over the course of their lives and just hearing whatever they have to say. I love it when a minister, gray-haired or no-haired, gets up and preaches and combs their way through the scriptures that they have clearly been doing for the last 20, 30, 40 years. When they've been doing it so long, there's not even a single thought or doubt of whether or not it's going to be right or wrong. You are just trying to make sure you hear what God's trying to say through them. When an old-timer starts establishing their text and going over the scriptures for their message God gave them, building the bridge, and then the bridge is built, and they say something along the lines of, "Now, when God," and you know you're in for a ride, they're about to be preaching or tearing it up for the next 10, 15 minutes. They make their point and proceed to do a fantastic job in being God's messenger for that day. I love that. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. In no way am I going to disrespect elders or even the messages that they have come from or that have come from them at conferences and such over the years. I am so thankful for the truth and the doctrine that they have brought to us over the course of my life and over the course of many generations. In our text today, we find a boy, or even a young man, around 15 years of age, who had been with God. Something that happens when you start spending a little time in prayer or with God is you start getting a boldness to you. You start to get a stirring in your spirit, if you will, to make a stand against what is wrong and stand for what is right. It would be very hard to be spending time in prayer and in Bible reading in this time we are living in without having some type of strong sense of both urgency and a position in which you should be operating or navigating this life in a way that both shows the love of Christ, but also takes a stance for what is right. David found himself in a situation where a warrior was coming against the people of Israel and also against God. Goliath, the giant, came to kill the Israelites and also defy God. Something rose up in David where he couldn't just sit there and do nothing. So he made a volunteer request to fight Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32 through 40. "And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth.' And David said unto Saul, 'Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.' David said, 'Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. After having the boldness to go against the giant, Saul saw it best fit to equip him as he best knew how. Saul, being the king, clearly had the best equipment a soldier could get. Saul's armor didn't seem to fit David quite right. Saul's armor, worn by the greatest soldier of the army, the best of the best, designed for protection and comfort on a battlefield. This equipment would have been created from experience on the battleground, guiding them through the process of what was needed for mobility as well as protection. What's protected Saul, though, seemingly from our text, hindered David's movement. Saul's armor was not designed for David. David says, I cannot use this armor, for I have not proved it yet, or I have not yet tested it. I will go with what I have tested, with what I have proved. I will go with what I had my own personal victories with. Shoes to fill. There have been many great conferences after a pillar or a man of God or woman of God in the UPCI organization has passed away. And they have taken the shoes of that minister and placed them up in front of the church. A great man or woman of God's shoes now sit empty up here on the altar. Who is going to fill these shoes? This is where I'm careful about what I'm saying, and don't misunderstand me, please. The messages God spoke through those great men and women of God will live in our hearts and minds and also in our recordings. But I wasn't born to fill anyone else's shoes. And neither were you. You were meant to fill your own shoes. Even though Sister Nona Freeman was a great woman of God, or Brother Pugh was a great man of God, or Billy Cole, or many of the other great men and women were what they were, you're only called to fill your own shoes. That idea of someone making a great preacher, speaker, and idol and trying to replicate that particular person is a concept used by humanity everywhere. How many young basketball players tried to play like Jordan, then Kobe, LeBron James, now Steph Curry? It is seemingly impossible to not be influenced in some way by how someone else who you look up to does whatever you're trying to do. I imagine the same thing held true with Saul and David. David probably felt the pressure of it all. First, he was moved by passion. This large giant comes against God. Then he likely thought, well, somebody's got to stand up. Why not me? But I imagine he also had the pressure of trying to defeat an enemy in battle, just like all the soldiers there. The best sword, the best armor, etc. So he at least tried it on. And I can imagine David trying to be Saul to the best of his abilities, but something just rose up inside him that said, you know what? I can't be you. I can only be me. But I have some victories being me. I have some credentials, if need be, for you to be able to put some trust in me. I killed a lion by hand as well as a bear, and I will kill this man too for defying the name of our Lord. But I'm not going to kill him like a soldier in your army. I'm going to kill him like a shepherd would protecting his sheep. God used David for what he was, not what society told him he should be. A warrior with a slingshot and 5 stones. Say what you want. He was too young. He had the wrong weapon. He wasn't trained in warfare. He didn't have the right clothes on. But you can't argue with the result. Emmett, my little guy, he's at the stage where he likes to put on mama and daddy's shoes. That's what he calls me, daddy. and walk around the house with them. And it's adorable and hilarious, but it affected me the most when he was outside to put on my steel toe work boots. I thought of my job and my career and how long I worked in those boots. Then I could easily figure how much I made for our family in those boots. Then the thought hit, he's already trying to fill his daddy's shoes. His primary example of what a father is comes from me. I know God is our primary example, but his prayer and Bible knowledge comes from Brooke and myself because he can't read yet. But the work boots got to me because I know he doesn't have to fill my shoes. He doesn't have to be what I am. He has to be the best him that he can be. So although he doesn't have to be me or fill my shoes just as I don't have to fill my grandpa's shoes or my dad's shoes or pastor's shoes, he has to be able to follow my footsteps, my footprints, as an example until he finds out what his own shoes are built to do. He has to be able to follow those footprints my shoes leave for him. We all have an important role to play in the body of Christ, and we have to be ourselves in order to do it. The pressure of trying to be what somebody else wants you to be, you don't have to. You have to be yourself, and you have to be the best you you can be. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations." Called to be a prophet before he was even born, a unique calling and gifting that pertain to him, as everyone here has a unique purpose in life that they are called for. Those shoes only you can fill. There are many examples I have had of great men and women of God who have spoke great words of wisdom over the course of my life. Many of them wore suits and spoke over the pulpit, but many of them didn't. This wooden pulpit is just that, a wooden pulpit, but there's a pulpit, so to speak, that we walk around behind our life. The apostles in the book of Acts spent a lot of time walking around in the streets with no wooden pulpit to stand behind. My grandpa Manley, as an example, taught one of the best lessons on servanthood I've ever seen. He didn't teach it with words. He taught it with his life. My grandma Manley is still teaching the same lesson. What I'm trying to say is maybe not all Christians have a ministry behind a pulpit. What if your battle clothes look more like greasy hands in a shop t-shirt? What if it's a board game in a small group meeting at your house? What if it's a group of people that go out hiking? Maybe your battlefield isn't a suit and tie, but it's a work uniform. Acts chapter 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus." Isn't that the goal? They recognized that they had been with Jesus in reach, outreach, bringing lost into the church, helping people in the church learn more about God, discipling people and teaching Bible studies. All that doesn't have an effectiveness if we haven't first been with Jesus. I love that it says they were uneducated, and that was seemingly the introduction. Typically in our society, when there's an introduction, it's something along the lines of he or she has done this and that, educated here, responsible for this and that. I understand and I give honor to whom honor is due, like I said, but the disciples got, they were uneducated, but they had been with Jesus. That wasn't even the introduction. That was after they had already spoken. It was obvious they had been with Jesus. The pressure of society to be a mold of something, the pressure one can have placed on themselves to speak a certain way or teach a certain way. This is what a small church looks like. This is what a Bible study looks like. This is how this should be done. I'm not saying the lessons aren't there. I'm just saying yours might look a little different. Truth is truth, and that will remain the same. But not all miracles happen in a church building. And not all Bible studies have to be in a home. We are all one body in Christ, yet many members. A common theme I've learned from elders, mentors and teachers is time. Time truly goes so quick, it seems. Little Emmett is growing like a thistle. That's funny. I remember giving someone a hard time when they turned 30, called them old and all that. And he said, just wait, you'll be 30 soon and it will feel like it was tomorrow. I was 27 then. I just happened to see him after I turned 30 and thought to myself, wow, that weasel was right. 3 years gone by just like that. To our elders and to the ministers before, thank you for ministering. Thank you for teaching us the truth and the lessons God has shown you throughout the course of your ministry. Thank you for your footprints for us to follow until we find our own shoes to walk in. You can do nothing against the truth, but only build upon it, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. To those of you who are trying to fill shoes, fill your own shoes. Don't waste the precious time you have trying to be something that you're not. Be you. You is good enough to start now. You are good enough to start now. No great man of God was what he was at the end of his life or ministry at the beginning of its process. You can look at Bishop and where he was, but he wasn't there 60 years ago. It was a process. You are good enough to do what God's called you to do right now. The big vision for your life may take time and develop, but don't look at that and be intimidated by it. Be who you are today. Let God challenge you today. Don't let the task or the dream of years to come overwhelm you and keep you from doing what you're called to do today. The only way to reach that goal is to focus on today. Do the right thing today. Fulfill the responsibilities God's given you today, and before you know it, you will be walking towards the dream of tomorrow or the future. To those of you that are young and still trying to find out what God's calling you to do, you can start with Micah 6:8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Just start walking with God in humility. Find examples in our church and make sure the footprints you are following are speaking, not ideas or I think this or I think that. Follow the footprints that are speaking what the Bible says. If the musicians will come. The pressure of society, the pressure of a mold, It will always seemingly be there. I think sometimes we put the pressure on ourselves. You guys all know what my last name is, and I've had that placed on me. You've had that placed on you. Even if you felt called into a particular ministry, it's almost like that particular ministry has to have a mold or something that it's supposed to be a part of. And then you can end up being like, oh, well, I don't do this like this person, or I don't do this like that person. And even though you had the empty shoes of these great men and women of God, the role still needs to be filled. That's why it's complicated. And that's why I said I respect that. I understood the message. The message is that role needs to be filled. But there's no way to fulfill that role exactly like the people before. Everybody has their own unique strengths. The pressure placed on, you can stand. The pressure placed on society doesn't have to be there. The only pressure you have to feel is between you and God and whatever you open up to a mentor. So I felt like there was a weight here. I even felt when Jerry was speaking and he said, you don't always make the right, or you don't always have the right reaction to a bad event. And that's not even biblical. Wow. I can make a mistake. I can get frustrated. But in the Bible, when you read it and you end up with whatever perception you have, if it's false, you can tear yourself apart for falling short of a bar that you place that's not even biblical. there were shortcomings in every person in the Bible that you read about. Probably not everyone, because obviously Jesus was there, but you can find shortcomings with Moses. You can find shortcomings with the apostles. But they were still used. And you're still going to be used. So be the best you can be.
To the altar for just a few moments. If you've been struggling with your calling or what God wants to do with you in your life, I want you to understand that Bryce's words are so true. God created you as an individual. You don't have to be like anybody else, but you have to be what God has asked you to be. Why don't you come down and recommit your life to that calling that God has called you to, the things that God has spoken to you. Amen. Let's just come down and pray for a moment. Thank you.
recognize that Brother Bryce's message dovetails perfectly with the lessons that we received there and the preaching that we received there. Praise God that God is doing a work in the last days that has to transcend generational lines, and that we have to allow people to follow after the gifts and calling that God has placed in their lives. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember to keep Pastor Roy and whoever is helping him up north to pray for Pastor Roy and the team up there to be able to find the problem and fix it and find a solution. I think he's weary of camp plumbing, so please pray for strength. Pray for everyone who's come back from camp should have a refreshed and renewed vigor and renewed focus, and pray for that is a seed that you can plant not only among the body of Christ, but where you live and the people that you come in contact with this week. God is doing a great work. We have a chance to be a part of the greatest revival that the world has ever known. Praise God. And that starts today. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.